We are near the end of our journey through Iran. We traveled there after economic sanctions were lifted. We sought clues to the future by talking with people everywhere from subway trains to religious shrines. We also looked back at the distant past, at the ruins of an ancient Persian capital. You're hearing us as we descended wooden steps. They were on a rickety steel frame and bent beneath our feet. They led downhill from the carved stone face of a tomb. Below us spread the remnants of the ceremonial city of Persepolis. Limestone columns still stand where Persian kings built a palace complex 2,500 years ago. Iran wants to attract more foreign tourists to this place, although what attracted us was Iranians who came to stare in wonder.
Who's in pink here?
In dokhtaram.
It was a baby girl in the arms of her father who'd brought his family to the ruins.
Almost 1 year.
The father of the one-year-old was Mohammad Reza Mahdian. He wore the brown robes and white turban of a Shiite Muslim cleric.
And what do you think?
With the baby in his arms, he said the ruins remind him that all kings and rulers will die one day. Nothing will remain, he said, but their good works. A short distance away, students wandered past a sculpture. It was a two-headed griffin, each head distinguished by its bird-like beak. Iranian soldiers passed it too. It's part of their training to learn of this time when Persia controlled a great empire. A young married couple studied stone carvings of a man with wings. She had dressed up for this occasion in a gold-colored coat, designer scarf, and sunglasses. She took a selfie in front of an ancient column. It's so beautiful, she said. Yet that emotion was mixed with disappointment. Everything we have belongs to a long time ago, she said. We have nothing new that makes us special in the world. We interviewed 10 Iranians at Persepolis, and we repeatedly heard that sense that life must have been better 2,500 years ago. Surely they were wrong. Surely day-to-day life was short and brutal back then, unless you were actually king. But what the visitors saw was the residual grandeur. They compared it with their country today, its staggering economy, and still limited freedom of descent. In fact, we are not naming the young woman because she told us she worried she'd said too much.
And the palace is here.
We're also not naming the family we met as we walked out of Persepolis. We arrived at an expanse of concrete near a few shops, shuttered for the season. On the concrete lay a blanket, and on the blanket sat a family of three, a mother, father, and toddler. From out here, they could contemplate the ruins without having to pay to go in. The father spoke with us through an interpreter.
I think that time was better than now.
How?
We used to be more connected with the world, the husband said.
I think people had more freedom than now, that it's sort of dictatorship.
The husband, who spoke of dictatorship in Iran, said he worked in a food processing plant. He said he was educated as an engineer, but was stuck in a menial job. His wife said she also had a college education.
My major is electrical, but no jobs.
I'm forced to be a housewife, she said. The husband said he had a long-term plan to get out. If I work in that factory for 10 more years, he said, I'll have the money to move my family to Canada.
Is it also that you don't think Canada would be like a dictatorship?
Whatever the situation will be, when you spend money, it will be solved.
That is the only reason he's waiting 10 years to go.
I'm going to take huge money with me to feel comfortable.
He said, I want to become a Canadian citizen, not some refugee. His wife listened to all this while tending to their little girl. She said she'd rather stay in Iran with her family.
Well, you have 10 years to talk him out of it.
Yes.
But for now, the husband plans for the family to leave. For him, the past is here in Iran, at Persepolis. The future lies somewhere else.